chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
It was the show of shows, the grandest stage of them all. Anxiety, nerves, surprises, shocks. Let's talk about WrestleMania Night 1, will we? What did you make of it, Ross?
What, the wrestlingers yesterday?
I don't want to talk. This is the podcast today, mate.
Let's just talk about anything other than football.
We're switched it to Wrestling Daft, my former podcast, for one day only, just because I don't think there's much to talk about. So welcome to Wrestling Daft. I am your host, John McInerney, joined by the Ginger God of Pod himself, who's here to talk about Night 1 of WrestleMania. What was your favourite comeback? What was your favourite match, Ross?
It was Hulk Hogan versus The Undertaker. Best ever.
Right, but one's dead. And I'm not talking about The Undertaker, because he's played as dead, but Hulk Hogan's actually dead.
I know. That is my knowledge of wrestling.
Right, okay.
That's gone.
How's your knowledge of Falkirk Football Club?
At this moment in time, I wish it was like non-existent and we didn't do a Falkirk podcast.
Shall we talk? I mean, in the words of Rod Stewart, I don't want to talk about it, but I think we're going to have to talk about yesterday's semi-final. We'll do that in the company of Chris McCready just in a bit. Apart from the game, which we're going to talk about, how was your day out?
I don't even know if it was a day out, mate, if I'm being honest. We went straight to the stadium, and then because of the result, I literally went straight home. And if I could have found a dark room in the house, I would have just stayed there until I had to come out. Not the best of set. It was all right up until 12:30. Like I wasn't having a big day out, as you know. I know you were through in Glasgow with a few of the boys. It was all right. It was nice enough until 12:30 PM, and the shit show began.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. I did the train, went to Druthy and Ebers, which we were all meant to be going to, didn't realise that you actually had to book a table there. So, in the counting house, packed the Falkirk supporters, a lot of Dunfermline supporters there, drinking there until the game. Got a taxi out to Hampden, which was really easy as well. It was definitely the way to go. And then, after the game, went to the Mountford. And then, back into town and down the roads with a lot of sad Falkirk supporters. And now I ended up going to the Dobby Hall to see my mate's band, Duke Duncan and the Hurricanes. Go and check them out. And actually, if it comes up next year, a lot of Falkirk supporters, the organiser, I think it's Rich, the organiser of Shuffle Down, big Falkirk supporter, he actually put the gig back to 3 o'clock so he could the whole thing. So I was able to get around, check out my mate's band, Duke Duncan and the Hurricanes. We will feature them musically. I just want to get through this episode, however. We'll go back to Music Corner, we'll play a bit of them. But now, next year, if you get a chance to go down, it's a great event, Shuffle Down at the Dobby Hall, brilliant bands. So thoroughly enjoyed that, and then, again, that took my mind off things, and then I sloped down the road, only to get Stephen Mill, or, you know, he previewed I thought, I've got to take my medicine, because the first thing I thought I did after the match, I messaged him straight away, because I thought, I'm just going to get it done with. And the first person message, so it's his first text message we say, I just messaged him, deserved, which it was. It was deserved from their perspective. And then I got voice notes, I got FaceTimes from the pub. Oh my God, it's not stopped today. So I now got to face up to him tomorrow morning as I record the big Scottish football podcast with him and Gordon DL tomorrow. So
have you discussed with Siobhan about quitting your job now?
I mean, it was going back to the wrestling, it was a career ender. It was like the career's on the line. It was like Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. And I mean, it was Dunfermline that super kicked us and said, "I love you." They probably didn't say "I love you" when they did that, but it was brutal. That's another little wrestling reference for anyone that gets that. But wait, listen, we'll talk about the match just in a minute, but I've got to say thanks very much to our sponsor of this episode. It's Rumour Architecture, back with us again. Ryan, actually, I saw Ryan, I passed Ryan yesterday, Ryan Marshall, who is the owner of Rumour Architecture, but I didn't get a chance to say hello to him because it was just that way in my sadness. So yeah, Ryan was there yesterday, and he is a class architect, one of only three chartered architect practices in the town now. They've done lots of great buildings before. You know, we've talked about Crunchy Carrots, we've talked about the houses near the old infirmary, at the convent site. He's done all them, he's designed them, he's the main architect. And as we always say, if you've got a project, whether it's an extension, a new build, or you know, something for your work, get in touch with Ryan, keep it in the Falkirk family, and he's going to give you 10% off by just saying Falkirk Daft. So if you're looking for a project, get Ryan in touch with him, rmar.co.uk, that's rmar.co.uk, and say that you heard him get talked about in Falkirk Daft, and you'll get 10% off any project. So there you go, thanks very much.
And you know, John, I was speaking to him earlier on in the week, and he's had at least half a dozen good jobs from the podcast.
Hey, that's brilliant. There you
Lots of
go.
people have got in touch with him and quoted Falkirk Daft, so that's brilliant.
There you go. It's a testimonial. So if you're a business out here looking to advertise on this podcast, there you go. There's the facts. There's the proof. It works. We're speaking to the whole of all the Falkirk fans on this podcast. And you know, all you've got to do is get in touch with us, and we are very, very cheap, as we always say. But yeah, that's good to hear. Before we get into the game, let's go quick visit to Bertie Connor, because there's not much club news at all. In fact, there's none from what I see. The only thing I've heard this week is a couple of transfer rumours from next season, Ross. Scott Tanzer from St Mirren.
Yeah, I saw that one. I think the Daily Record shared that one during the week, didn't
Yeah.
they? And I saw he was playing for St Mirren today. I didn't actually see any of the. I saw the last sort of 50 minutes, which I think is when all the goals happened.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of his performance, but that's a rumor that's been kicking about. Obviously, Liam McCann is signed, sealed, and delivered for next season. However, as far
Go.
as we're aware, we don't think we've got any other cover. Sean Mackey's out of contract. Philip
Sam
Lisser,
Hart will be away.
you
He's
would assume
suspended.
so. Philip Lisser's obviously heading back to Swansea. So Premiership experience. Who knows? Maybe it's
Another one
maybe coming.
doing the rounds today that I've heard, and certainly on the Discord chat, is Jack McMillan from Exeter City as well. He used to play for Partick, went down south under 21 Scotland International.
Right, so a new name on me, I must admit. But listen, we and John, we trust his recruitment has pretty much been spot on in the time he's been with the club. You can count in one hand the boys that he hasn't really improved, and there's not many of them. So no, listen, I fully expect some quality additions coming in the summer.
Yeah, so yeah, he's from Scotland. In fact, I don't think he was under 21. I made that up, but he was at Thistle, and then Livingston as well. So, you know, he's down there just now. So, who knows? That could be one for next season, but we'll wait and see. But in terms of birthdays, let's say happy birthday. And this is from Craig Young. It says, and this is actually, we should just do this in person because Chris McCreadie, who's our guest pundit this week, is coming on just in a minute. And he turned 43 on the 17th. He shares a birthday with my wife. And so there I go. Wish happy birthday to Chris when he comes on. But that comes from Craig. Chris, we'll pass that on just in a minute. He wants to also say, but I'm all for this, by the way. What's Say a happy birthday to my dog Chance, who turns 13 on the 23rd, and my other dog Ruby, who turns 7 on the 14th. Dog birthdays, I'm on board with as well.
Is this the first dog birthdays
Yeah,
we've had sent in? I
that's it.
thought
And
that. Yeah, it is.
you know what you want to buy your dog for its birthday? A
What's
Falkirk
that?
Daft dog bandana. You can get them in the merch store, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Never miss a trick, Ross. Never miss a trick.
Love it.
Players celebrating their birthday this week. The 20th is Lee Wilkie. Remember, we had him on loan from Dundee. He showed up pretty well. He turns 46. On the 21st, Enoch Shomney, Ross. What's he best known for at Falkirk?
Well, on the pitch, his overhead kick against Aberdeen. However, off the pitch, it's probably the fact that he was voted longest in the shower within that particular squad.
There you go. 23rd, it's Prince Bobbin. We had him for a slight wee time, Prince Bobbin.
Yep.
One of the Dundee United Tuesday brought in, like, remember we had Margoro Gomez as well, who I always see, he's still playing with the Shire, Margoro Gomez. So when I'm playing sevens on a Monday night at Stenny, the Shire are normally training, and I always kind of pass him going, there's Margoro Gomez, he won the Scottish Cup and what have you. So, yeah, so he does. He's only 38, Prince Bobbin, though. Danny McBreen, goal machine, turns 49, 23rd. I think he does still. He's one of the analysts for Australian football, like soccer in Australia, because he pops up on the telly now and again. So Danny good. McBreen turns 49.
Good striker. Could have been doing him yesterday.
Could have been doing him. And on the 24th, 97 Cup final squad who came off the bench, Gerard Fellner turns 56.
And not so good striker then.
Gerard, I don't think he scored, did he? Did he score one goal maybe?
No, he scored a few league goals from memory.
Did
you
he?
Wouldn't fact check me there, but
I'll need
I do
to fact
remember
check
him scoring
that.
A few. I remember if it was a betting man before you look, I would say six or seven.
Well, on his Wikipedia it's not coming up with his Falkirk goals, but there you go. But he's currently or he was assistant at Viner Neustadt, there you go.
Let's have a quick look on Better Meadow because they are the fountain of all.
Yeah,
folk got
on Better Meadow. I don't.
Look,
I think he maybe scored one.
Right, I'll go seven. I because remember we were in the first division at the time. I'm sure he got a few. Let's have a look if I could use the search thing. Well, that would be lovely.
Great podcasting this.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's like seamless. Right. Fellner. Oh, Froxy Elias. I forgot about him. There we go.
Yeah, I love Froxy Elias. He was a good looking lad.
See, when I was looking out shirts this week, because my sister was after a shirt for the semi, and I've got a signed Froxy Elias yellow shirt. And it's
have you?
Yeah, I do.
That's class.
Yeah. Right, Johnny, score four. So
did he?
We meet
hell.
In the middle.
There you go.
He didn't play much.
Always on the bench.
Yeah,
it was the time when we had three subs on the bench as well.
He had four starts and three sub appearances. I thought he had more than that.
There you go.
But apparently not. There you go. But listen, that's a brilliant goal.
I know.
Seven
games. Seven games. So Gerard. Love that wee song as well. So there you go. Gerard Fellner, 24th. Wish Gerard a happy birthday. Before we get into the football, say thanks very much to Behind the Wall, our sponsors, and have been on the podcast, and they will continue to be on the podcast next season. Delighted to say that Bobby and the rest of the team are going to be back in the podcast next season as well. Of course, you get Falkirk Daft Venom, the original Falkirk Daft Venom. I've seen now a second pub in the town which shall go unnamed, apart from it's the Scotia, now ripping off Behind the Wall, and they've called it the Falkirk Venom. Poor.
Really
on the bandwagon, where, you know, they've started running, you know, Behind the Wall have been there through the League One, they've been through the full journey, and now all these other pubs jumping on the bandwagon, eh?
Poor stuff.
Shocking. But a few things going on in there. Afternoon with Tam Cowan's happening on the 25th. Phonics are also in there on the 25th as well. And I noticed there's a New Order tribute act playing there very soon as well, so I'll need to go and check that out. I love New Order. So they're playing upstairs and Behind the Wall. So that's all happening. Check out all the events going on at Behind the Wall, behindthewall.co.uk. And I saw it was jumping, even though despite the result, it was very busy last night. A lot of people going to Scottish Grand National as well. Saw a couple of videos on their socials. Still one of the best pubs in the town, and you can hear that and support this podcast. So thanks very much to all the team at Behind the Wall. Right, let's speak to the birthday boy now, and let's talk, if we have to, very briefly about the semi-final game against Dunfermline in the company of Chris McCreedy.
Thanks, guys.
Happy
Not
birthday.
Very happy,
happy birthday.
Birthday.
Craig has been in touch with us, Chris, and was got in touch with us to wish you a happy birthday. That's Craig Young, I'm assuming one of your mates.
Brother-in-law.
Oh, your brother-in-law, there you go. Aye, and he also took the opportunity to wish his dogs happy birthday as well. So you're up there. At least, you know, he didn't forget you and just gave mentions to the dogs. You got a mention there, at least, from Craig.
Yeah. I was on the big screen at half time as well with a birthday message.
Oh,
I was in the crowd, and like all the people, there was 80 of us, all the people that are watching, they've got their phones out recording the big screen. I'm like, why are you doing that? Obviously, right. My name popped up. I was like,
brilliant, brilliant. Ergo, there you go. Well, I wish you had a better birthday present, Chris, as we're about to discuss the game. But we've had you on the podcast before, Chris, haven't we?
Yeah, funnily enough, it was the last time we got put out a cup competition on penalties. Great. Against Stenhouse Muir.
Brilliant.
So, I feel like it's my niche now.
So, memory being served, right, you're just kind of a new adopter to Falkirk, aren't you? You kind of jumped on board kind of the League One season, and actually coincided with John McGlynn taking over, didn't it?
So it was the season that John took over. I think it was about six games in or something like that, where I got dragged along by my son because he kept pestering me. So, yeah, and the rest is history, as they say.
How's the week?
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say there's a new addition to the shirts behind you as well, I can see. Is that the Heritage shirt, Brad Spencer's Heritage shirt, is it?
It is, aye. So I was lucky enough to get Brad's this year. So because obviously Sean Mackey was out on loan. So I said, is there any chance of getting somebody else? And he was like, Paddy was like, I'll send you a list. And as soon as I seen Brad's on it, I was like straight on the response.
Superb.
I'll take Brad's.
Nice one. Well, how did your son enjoy the game? Yes, his first visit to Hampden for the semi-final, was it? Or did he make the Inverness game as well?
So he was at the Inverness game, he loves Hampden for some reason. He was excited for the game and stuff like that. Obviously, the result wasn't the greatest. I think he's more in disbelief as to how we managed to not beat that lot. But I was like, maybe third time lucky, pal.
Yeah. Was it worst performance since Inverness at Hampden?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think so. Well, apart from Airdrie.
Maybe the second half of last week was pretty brutal as well. It was my son's first trip to Hampden to watch Falkirk, and I was just like, this is a life lesson. This is, you've had it quite good. He's kind of just jumped on the bandwagon this season. And as I said, this is a life lesson. This is how it feels to be a Falkirk supporter most of the time. You've had it good, but now this is the reality. But let's talk about the game then. We won't go talk, like I say, we're not going to talk a lot about this because I just don't want to talk about it. One change, we heard that Cole Dawson had picked up a thigh knock during the week. So everyone got their wish and Conor Allen started, Ross, because everyone has been clamouring for Conor to start. And then Ross McKeever came onto the bench. What did you make of that?
I thought Conor Allen was one of the best players in a Falkirk jersey yesterday. So we were all calling for it. There were some that were calling for it quite loudly in terms of whether Cole was fit or not. I'm not convinced Conor would have started if Cole had been fit. And one thing I would say is maybe we did lack a little bit of leadership on the pitch yesterday. I thought we were really quiet. And I don't mean the crowd. I mean as in like we just, I don't know, something, well, there was a lot missing yesterday. But in terms of Conor coming in, I thought he did fantastically well. The defence was probably, out with the goalkeeper, probably the best positions on the pitch for us, really.
Yeah, I don't think the defence, like, I thought Hendo, Chris, looked a little bit shakier. I don't know if it was nerves or, you know, and I think this will be a phrase that will be getting often used while we're looking back at the matches, like the occasion. They played the occasion and not the match yesterday, but I thought Hendo looked a wee bit un-Hendo-like yesterday as well.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I don't know if it's just Conor Allen seems to have such like a calm aura about him when he's at that in that centre-back position that maybe it seemed like Hendo was the shaky one out of the two as opposed to what's been happening sort of previous weeks. But yeah, he definitely wasn't his commanding self, I would say that.
Yeah, Conor, but as you said, Ross, it wasn't just leadership, we lacked a wee bit of physicality, I felt, with Cole and height, because when you looked at Conor's, especially when we started making changes, I mean, especially when Barney went off as well, the only kind of physicality and height I had in the team was Hendo's and Lisa, you know, with Donaldson being out, you missed that little bit of physicality, I think, when it came to set pieces when we were chasing the game.
Yeah, and they are a bit bigger in terms of stature. Some of their players. Listen, I don't think their Vermaelen played very well either yesterday. I think they played the game better. In terms of the management of the game, and you've already said it, John. Listen, we went through against Hearts on penalties. They've went through on this game of penalties. The reason it hurts like fuck is because it's them. And that probably doesn't help the fact that how everyone's feeling after the game, because like, and I wasn't for being reasoned with. Like last night, there was a lot of people on group chats or on social media saying, "Oh, you remember the last 3 years?" I couldn't give a fuck about the last 3 years. Yesterday, I couldn't have given any less of a shit. And that's not me being disrespectful to the team or what we've achieved, because it is phenomenal. But we have just been beaten by our biggest rivals.
And a championship team to boot as
And a
well.
championship team to boot. It was the tie we all wanted. It
I
sounded
didn't. You know I didn't want it.
well, on paper though. You've taken the lowest team in the four that we could have, the three that we could have got, and we got put out of the cup without a whimper. And that's probably what that hurts the most. Listen, good luck to them. They're through. As Stephen Mill has said about Falkirk in recent weeks, as in he hopes we got leathered, I hope they get leathered off Celtic as well. However, listen, it is a tough one to take. It is a tough one to take, and it's really hurtful because it's them. Let's face it, and they'd be feeling the same if it was, if we had won.
I mean, a bit shithousery played by Neil Lennon on the, Andy Todd was not, was meant to be out for the season. There he turns up. But we kind of had suspicions that was going to be the case. And Chelko Mullen, which I thought was, going to be the biggest miss out of the two players because he's been excellent. And a player I'd love to actually have at Falkirk, Chelko Mullen. I think he's very, very good. And he turned up as well. We just, the way they lined up, we just, and this is how Livingston have lined up, and whether Neil Lennon's kind of been watching that, we just can't deal with a back three. I mean, Dunfermline have played a back three for most of the season, but we just can't seem to deal with a back three, and I don't know what it is. I thought Ngwenya for them, the number three, was outstanding yesterday for them, by the way. But we just, Neil Lennon tactically got us absolutely, hats off to him because he absolutely nailed us. Like, Miller, Brogio, we'll get to talk a bit more about Ben in a minute, but they just couldn't get a foot into that game. And without them getting a foot into the game, the supply for Barney just wasn't there.
Yeah, I heard someone write a real go at Barney yesterday as we're walking out, and I'm thinking he's had zero service
No.
yesterday, absolutely zero service. I why we didn't tactically change when we had to, I've no idea. The subs really didn't make too much of an impact. Kyrell probably had more of an impact than others, but then he's had a couple of half chances that he really needs to be taken. Because you're not getting, we barely had a chance yesterday, and keeper didn't even really get his hands on the ball from a Falkirk perspective. What is it, 115 minutes? That was just shite, basically.
I mean, tactically, what did you make of it, Chris?
So I thought that obviously a lot of talk was around us being able to play our game on the big Hampden pitch. I thought that they actually played the big pitch better than us in terms of. We obviously push up our defence quite high, and they were able to just lump balls like up, and then obviously as you seen like the first sort of 2 minutes in or something like that, it's just that like a ball that's been headed twice, and then because we've pushed up so far, Callum Morrison's in and nearly obviously had us all crying right at the start, and they've done that quite well throughout the game. I thought that the big pitch left a lot of space and behind us, and they were doing those sort of diagonal balls, getting like the ball down in the corner and winning a corner or winning a throw in and just pegging us back. Whereas because they were sitting deep as well, we weren't able to utilize Calvin Miller's pace like we usually do. When Kyrell came on, I thought we had a slight bit more joy doing that. But I thought that they tactically they set up very well against
Yeah,
us.
I do. I mean, they didn't. I mean, Scott Bain didn't have much to do apart from extra time. But then Oxbridge didn't have much to do apart from that. Probably that save from Ethan Ross is the only thing that he had to deal with all game. And they completely, like you say, utterly and not nullified our wingers yesterday. Ben Brosio, I don't know how. I mean, I think if the occasion got to a lot of players, certainly got to him. I've no idea how he lasted the length of time he did. I'd have had him off at half time, and had Cairel on at half time, because certainly Cairel's pace made a difference. You know, he had two big chances, Cairel, in saying that, and he should have done a lot better, certainly with a header.
Why is he took Calvin Miller off and not put Calvin into the 10, and then he's moved?
Well, Calvin was playing the 10 when Cairel came on. Calvin moved into the 10, didn't he?
Sorry, I mean, as in, like, he obviously finished with Calvin going off and Ben going into the 10 role, which, like, the game just passed him by. He didn't look interested, and I'm sure we'll get feedback or comments to say you can't say that. Well, I'm saying it. He didn't look interested, and I don't know why.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, he's a young lad, and the thing is, like, you're a 19-year-old.
No, wait a minute. If anything, he should be lively then. He's a young lad. He should be...
Oh, but if you're a 19-year-old lad playing at Hampden on an occasion like that, like, it's going to get to you, you know what I mean? It's like...
Do you know I think he got to too many of them yesterday, though?
I honestly do. I think they were all spooked. They all seemed spooked by it, and didn't play the game.
We need to find out why, because I've screenshotted it, because I saw this earlier on. I was trying to avoid social media, to be honest. Dunfermline midfielder Matty Todd, this is a direct quote from the BBC. It wasn't a pretty game, but you could smell the Falkirk team were nervous. So they've sensed, whether it's early on in the game, whether it's pre-game, that we're not at it. And they're not talking about Ben Brosier. They're talking about a number of our players. Yeah. They've obviously sensed that they're not comfortable with the occasion, with the atmosphere, with the team. I don't know what it is, but it's a shite game to look to shit the bed at. Like, I'm sorry. The guys have done brilliantly. Of course they have. But that is embarrassing, that performance yesterday. Absolutely embarrassing. I think you've got to take
the defence and the goalkeeper probably out of the equation. Now, in saying that, Scott Bainer didn't get near any of the penalties at all.
Listen, during the game, he kept us in it at points, so I agree with that. Penalties, not for the first time. The Hearts game, he didn't get near any of them either. That was the difference, really, was the goalkeeper and the penalties. The guy knew exactly what we were going to do and where we were putting it.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky to even get the first goal that went in with Parkinson. Yeah. Squeezed in.
I think just going back to Ben Brosio, like I was having a think about it last night. So when he came in to the club, so he's missed out on Celtic Park away, Ibrox away. I didn't think he played in the Scottish Cup away to Tynecastle. We've obviously had a lot of other home games that have had big-ish crowds, eh? But in terms of having like a massive away support or a big stadium, playing away in a big stadium, I don't think he's experienced that yet. So that was his first taste of it. So I understand if the occasion got to him, but I agree with you, Ross, in terms of if we can see that in the stands, surely John McGlynn can see that. And why is he not then made a change to somebody that's not going to freeze?
Aye.
Yeah. It was, like you say, though, it wasn't just Ben, it was kind of everyone. I thought Dylan Tate continued where he left off against Rangers in the second half. You know, first half against Rangers was unbelievable. And in the second half, he was rotten, and I thought he wasn't at it at all yesterday either. You know, Finn was pretty anonymous, but Finn does what he does, is industrious. I do think we are missing someone, and certainly in a game like that yesterday, where you need to have space and you need to create chances, someone in the 10 that was more attacking. You know, we've obviously lost Arfield. That game yesterday would have been the perfect game for Scott Arfield, by the way. Absolute perfect. Or even someone like an Aidan Nesbitt. Because you missed that natural 10, and I think you did miss that yesterday, and I think you've seen that over the last couple of weeks as well, and Finn knows he's not a natural 10 as well. So I think that was a big miss. You know, maybe he should have started, like I suggested, Brosio in the 10, because he drifts inside anyway. Maybe he had better luck in there and putting Wilson out on the right. But it was just, I mean, you can go back at, you know, and look at the mistakes, but it's just, we were, you know, Dunfermline managed the game better than we did. Simple as that.
Well, they did. Yeah, listen, I think we'll both, Chris and I, will agree with that, John. I think they did manage the game. with it. It's hard to say they deserve to go through because they won
Yeah,
the
I mean,
game
they
they
hit the
should.
bar, Ross. They had the better chances.
Yeah,
That
no, listen,
young lad that came off the bench, they had the chance for
they
Morrison
were fighting.
right off the thing. That young lad, Scott Baines saved from him, and he's hit the bar when he's come off the bench as well. So they had the better chances. The only chances to the call are Barney going straight at the keeper, and the two chances from Kyrell and the one from Ethan Ross, which the keeper's put around the post. That's your Falkirk chances right
I
there.
think, but yeah, Ben Brosio had that one as well, didn't he, towards the end?
I that was a did you see that? Was it when Kyrell or Brenn was going through? Just no one taking responsibility. And Tate should have shot at that one where Tate should have shot it. I think it was eventually it led to us. We got a chance anyway, but just no one seemed to want to take responsibility on that park yesterday.
There was a couple of occasions I felt where Dylan's decision making was absolutely shocking. I think one of the Dunfermline players slipped and then he picked it up. And I think that we were 3-on-2. And obviously he could have just slipped Calvin in. But then he's indecision, and then he was just like, I think it's the same one that you're talking about, John. Like just hit a shot then. If you're not going to pass it early and play him in, then you need to be hitting a shot. And yeah.
I'm probably skipping forward a wee bit as well, but do you know what the one thing that frustrated the fuck out of me earlier on today when I watched the highlights back
I did. I've not
was
watched them, and I'm not going to
well,
ever watch them.
it was purely just because we're doing this. If I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't have looked. But Henry Cartwright's fucking dive, right? The boy's nowhere near him. Sorry, Henry. I like you. You've done well in spells, but like I'm not saying it changed the results that I wouldn't have done, right?
It was the
But
last kick of the ball.
John, he could have, like, see, when you look back, he didn't need to do it. He could have put the ball across, and Brian Graham was in the box in the 6 yards. He could have fired that across, and it could have hit off somebody. Brian could have tapped it in, and he went for the dive. And it's a dive. You watch it back for the behind the goals, the boy's not clipped him at all. He's a diving wee shite, and I hate that. Fucking hate it. And he could have got the ball across to Brian. Sorry, he could have
Brian
done it.
made a, I thought Brian made a difference when he came on. Certainly that last 15 minutes, I thought Brian made a difference. He had that header that went wide, but I thought he looked like he was leading the line a lot better than what Barney had anyway. Like you say, the bench wasn't getting service and
No.
legs were tiring at that point. But I
Do
the
you know
one
how
thing,
the Dunfermline players had worked Barney out as well?
yeah, I,
Yeah. They marshalled him.
yeah.
But we marshalled in the same defence, we marshalled
Morrison,
Morrison very,
yeah, and
very well.
Todd. Morrison and Todd didn't
Oh,
get a
Todd
look
didn't have a
yesterday.
sniff
Didn't get a
for
sniff.
as much as he was lauded. And
Yeah.
Morrison
Again, the best
quiet.
players on the park were all defenders. For Dunfermline, Chilcoa Mullin and Gwenya were excellent yesterday. I thought the boy Gilmore was decent in midfield as well. He's been impressive for them this season. But we're just again, and it comes to it goes 0-0. It comes to the penalties, right? Like you said, Ross, earlier on, like they had us figured out for the penalties. Like Spencer, if Spencer's goes in, we're off to a good start.
Yeah,
However,
he's unlucky. He's unlucky because
he's
he did beat
unlucky.
the keeper. Brad bet the keeper. Obviously didn't beat the post, but he bet the keeper. But the keeper, he was every direction. He was pretty much spot on.
I would, however, and I know you, the tendency is to put your best in penalty takers first and fifth. That's the kind of going. See, as soon as Brad missed that, I'd have put Brian Graham on the second one.
Are they allowed to change the order though when
I
they put the
don't
order in?
know. I don't know if you can actually.
I don't think you can. I think they know
No.
who's taken. I could be wrong. Like
No, you're
I
probably right. You're probably right. But you probably can't do that. I'm probably just talking shite. But yeah, it was just like get your best penalty taker and just get the goals. I mean, Hendo's like as much as Hendo's brilliant and and line for play of the season, like you want to put forwards on penalties, get ahead, get your get off to a good start. And I thought Liam going up for the second one, I mean Lisa's was the best penalty of the lot, brilliant, just absolutely
Oh,
class.
you know, part of the problem is for me is, and I get it from a striker's perspective, right? They want the glory of winning, like Parkinson against Hearts, right? They want the glory of the fifth penalty. But you're right,
But
we probably
that's a
can't.
tactical. You put your first and your fifth, your best penalty takers on first and fifth. That's generally the kind of what managers will do. But ugh.
See,
Do
just
you
going
know?
back. Sorry, Chris. See, just going back to the penalties, though, and because obviously I've called Henry a diving machine, and because he has dives, right? That's just
Right.
my
I've not,
opinion.
I've, like I say, I've not watched it,
Well,
so
he has. It's fact, no opinion, because
Right.
the ref and VAR have booked him
Yeah.
and then sent him off, and they've no overturned it. He's dived, right? However, my issue with that, see if he was on his own, running in and goal, and there's no sod catching up with him. I get it, right? It's the last minute. Take a chance, right? And it's not right because you don't like to see folk diving to get a penalty or whatever, right? But my biggest frustration was he was getting the ball and he could have got the ball across. Sorry, I thought I don't want to labour it, but that for me was just it set the tone for what then happened, and we never looked confident at all. And yeah, as you said earlier, John Bebane, he didn't get near any of them.
No.
See,
No.
to be honest, as well with the Dunfermline penalties, none of them were actually like right in the corner or into the side of the net. I thought Bain had an opportunity to get to them. There's been, I think there was like maybe one or two where he's overdived and they've hit it kind of just off center a little
Yeah.
bit, and it's like, oh, if you just waited that, like, extra 0.3 a second before you've dived or whatever, like he's able to get to them. None of them, I would say, were out of reach.
No.
I would say maybe the Josh Cooper's first one, because that was quite high in the goal, and I think Bain nearly got a hand to it. But they weren't great penalties for Dunfermline. He's either dived the wrong way or he's overdived or whatever. And yeah, it just
So listen,
it's
it's a
heartbreaking.
sore day.
As a so,
Yeah.
listen. It's one of the
A
sorest.
sore
It's
day.
one of the sorest days. But here's a question for you lads: would you rather have been pumped 6-2 off Celtic or went out on penalties to Dunfermline?
6-2 of Celtic.
6-2. Yeah.
6-2. There you
It's them,
go.
John. I don't give a honestly. It's sorer because it's them.
I know. And the thing
Right.
is, you like we don't let them forget 2009. We are never going to hear the end of this now. I've had 24 hours of just social media slaggins, group chat slaggins, Stephen Mill. Honestly, he must have voice notes, face calls, FaceTimes. I'm expecting a letter through the post, I'll be honest with you, because he's been abusing me every possible way. And fair enough, they've got the right to. They've got the right to. Do you know what? And that's the frustrating thing.
And they have, but listen, the fans, including me, you, and Chris, the fans turned up yesterday. You can see the tifo behind you, John. The
Yeah,
fact
shout out to
that,
Gate 25. That was
yeah,
outstanding. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
men and women of the match were Gate 20 for me. I hope we don't even talk. Well, there are players who deserve a mention, but the fans were terrific yesterday. We slightly outnumbered Dunfermline, which was obviously great. But other than that, the highlight of the day was the tifo, and then getting out of Hampden as quick as we could. That was the second highlight, I think, Chris, you said that earlier on, didn't you?
Yeah, did I? Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Aye.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Listen, I've not even
Brutal.
listened to this yet myself. Like I say, I've been avoiding any watching any of this game back. But let's hear from John McGinn.
John, a tough one to take today. How do you sum it up?
Scrappy game, really. Started very scrappily, maybe a bit of nerves involved. Once it settled in, I thought we were a better side. But overall, feelings is that we didn't produce any quality at all. We're a team that scored two goals against Rangers last week, we scored three against Motherwell the week before that, we scored four against Hibs, scored five against Kilmarnock, and today, in 120 minutes, we couldn't get a goal. And I think both teams could have been playing there to next Saturday. I don't think anyone was going to score on the day. As I say, I think we're all overall better team. I think we're a team that went towards the Dunfermline goal more than they went towards our goal. But we just did not produce any quality at all that we burst, that created an opening, that created a real, real good goal scoring opportunity. I think the goalkeeper's maybe had one save. A shot from Ethan Ross, I think it was on target. A shot from Ben, it was off target. There wasn't enough, for all the ball that we had. They were just huffing and puffing. We just could not create anything today.
And then obviously, you know, a difficult way for it to end out on penalties after putting so much effort into the full 120 minutes. And then unfortunately just not a great penalty shootout.
No, we were on the risk. You know, it's one strike of the ball. We did well enough to beat Hearts earlier in the competition. So you go into it with confidence that you know you've done it before. But obviously a bad start with it. It doesn't mean that you're out on the first penalty, you know, but it made it more difficult when you lose, you know, you don't score the second one and the Finns scored two. So, not a great penalty shootout for us. Again, it probably just sums up our day with regards to the lack of quality that unfortunately we had today. You know, it's just not enough cutting edge, not enough real linking, combining. You got to compliment Dunfermline on their defending and their organisation, but you know, we should have been creating more opportunities.
Yeah, not happy, John McGowan. You wouldn't expect him to be, I suspect. I'll be interested to see what team goes out next week. Because, I mean, for me, listen, we might get fifth. You know, with Celtic getting through the Scottish Cup final, you know, they've got a chance of winning that. That's got to be the motivation, I'm guessing, now to the end of the season. And you've got to use that. It's going to be a hard, hard ask, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's the only thing we've got till now, until the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah. We need to focus on that. We'll dust ourselves down.
There'll be changes next week, and I can assure you that.
There probably will be. It's a tough place to go. Obviously, St Mirren, who did lose heavily to them today, in the end, they only lost to them 1-0 at Parkhead last Saturday. So listen, we can go there and put a fight on, and I'm sure we will. It's an opportunity with Celtic getting to the final. It's obviously not a gimme that Celtic's going to win the final. I hope they do. And I never say that because you know me, I'd love the underdog to get the cup. And obviously Dunfermline haven't won the Scottish Cup in a long time as well. But yeah, we need to focus on something apart from Dunfermline getting beat. But if we can, I don't know how many points it would take, John. I think we certainly we would need to beat Hibs and Motherwell at home anyway to have a sporting chance, and then you're probably talking picking up a point from the other three games.
Right. Hibs and Motherwell, you need a point you need to beat Hibs and Motherwell, and you need a point to do it effectively.
And obviously Hearts and Hearts play Motherwell, I think, this weekend. Sorry, that's wrong. Is it Rangers, Motherwell? Hibs are playing Hearts, the derby there. So, I can see Hearts continuing their run. I think Hearts will beat them, and I can see Rangers beating Motherwell. The trouble we've then got is to make that product of we need to try and get something at Celtic Park. And Celtic obviously play on Saturday. Rangers and Hearts play on Sunday, so they will, like Rangers last week, they will be bursting their gut to go top of the league for 24 hours probably.
Yeah. Right, we'll see what happens. We'll have the preview podcast a bit later in the week for that. Let's hear what you guys had to say about the match. Drew kicks us off by saying, getting worrying now how we seem to forget how to shoot when we play teams who want to defend. Example, Libby, St Mirren, Steny and Dunfermline yesterday. Teams will just copy this from now on as we have no idea how to counter it. I can't disagree with that.
Can't really argue with that, to be fair. Alan says Pars had the better chances and the lad Fife missed two sitters, so no. Very, very disappointing display from our players after all of the build-up. The penalties were not great and their goalkeeper made some decent saves and really should have stopped Parkinson's penalty as well.
Yeah. Wee Tam says, worst game of football I've seen in a while. We never got going in a full game at all. Few chances we could have stolen, but not to be. Unsure of the penalty. Can't bring myself to watch it again.
I tell you one thing, he's right, it was the worst game of football in a long, long time. It was boring, right?
Yeah.
It was really boring.
I would say that as well. I was like, if you could, I would have just said that none of the two of you have done enough to get to a final. We'll just give it to Samirin and Celtic.
Yeah, well, that's true. Brendan says we should have won it. Should we have won it in 120 minutes? Yes. Did reserve to win it in 120 minutes? No. Can't blame the ref, the pitch, or anything else. This was on the team. We just didn't turn up and do all we know that we're capable of. They weren't great. Got it to sudden death and we folded.
Yep.
Again, can't really argue with that.
Michael, I agree with McGlynn. It's not a lottery. We had 120 minutes to score in regards to, I think I said, the lottery of penalties. Credit to Spencer. He stood up as a captain and wasn't meant to be. Gutted beyond words. 7 points to go for and we could be in Europe. Come on, you Bairns.
Indeed. Jamie says, very poor watch all round. Thought too many were at half effort. Maybe nerves. In-game management was also poor. Seemed everyone but the management could see that Brogio was done after 50 minutes. I would have said five. Too late with the subs.
Yeah. Kevin says, let's be honest, this was the worst result of the last 3 years. The team have taken us incredible highs, but should hang their head in shame today. Oof, that's a bit brutal. Bit brutal.
Yeah, that is a bit brutal. Like, those guys in the dressing room will be feeling it just as much as everyone in the fan base. Obviously,
I don't think we can say that. Nicky,
majority of them.
Nicky, because he's a Falkirk lad. Listen, the players will be gutted and they'll be disappointed. Of course they will. But I saw someone say that last night. Oh, they'll be hurting more than the fans. No, they won't, because it's the Dunfermline result. They don't.
Yeah.
Andrew says defence was much better with Connor in it. The rest of the team let us down. Created nothing. We will struggle against more physical teams. Graham should have been on earlier and we should have got the crosses into the big man. We need a bigger, stronger number 10.
Yeah, I did think Brian made a big difference when he came on the park, actually. Maybe if he'd come on instead of Parkinson, maybe you've got a wee bit more into the game.
I would say that. Sorry, John. Just going back to what you said at the start about having more leadership in the team. Obviously, we were missing Cole. Yeah. Brian Graham would have brought that on, and I think obviously he probably would have done.
We could have had Parkinson and Brian Graham on the park at the same time and changed the formation.
I was surprised we didn't go 4-4-2. I thought when Parkinson came on, But anyway. Caroline says, absolutely gutted for everyone there, but it felt we went to pens and would lose, which we did. Surely Brian Graham should have been first. Too much switching about players lately, and also not surprised to see the laddie Todd on the pitch. Never believe Neil Lennon.
Man, good show. And finally, Diggy says, we simply didn't turn up.
And that's it. We just didn't. That's it. Falkirk Daft rated. Let's get to it then, Ross and Chris. Who are we thinking? Chris, come to you first.
So I've been trying to think of like who probably deserves it. Of the players, I'd probably say Connor Allen, just because obviously he came in out for the cold and he was probably one of the better performers on the pitch. But out with the players, I think Gate 20 for the TIFO is definitely a shout for rated.
100% agree. If I was picking a player, I'd probably go Connor as well. I thought he did very, very well.
Well, let's go Connor, because I'm in agreement with you. Let's go Connor Allen, coming out the cold. And, you know, like you say, it had to be someone that defence. Lisa, you could probably put in the same brackets as well. He was class again. He was just classy again. At the back four, apart from Henderson looking a bit unsettled at points, I thought McCann was fine. Lisa was just his usual self. The back four can hold their heads up high. It's just what was in front of them and like creating chances. That's where the issues come in. So let's give it to Connor Allen then, and we'll put Gate 20 as honourable mention. There we go. What are we thinking for Dafty? Take your pick.
I'll start. I don't think I've ever picked out a player. I'm going to go Henry Cartwright for not staying on his feet and squaring the ball in the last minute.
All right. What about you, Chris?
I didn't like to go with a Falkirk player. I think Callum Morrison for doing the crying emoji at the end of the game is definitely a dafty.
He got grief all the way through it.
He's more than entitled to it.
Listen, I don't like him. And I've said that many, many times. And I expected worse than he did, to be
I'd
honest.
I tell you what, I'd have liked him down the right yesterday if he was playing for us. Christ.
Yeah.
Might have created something, but yeah, okay. Henry Cartwright, Callum Morrison. I'll go Henry Cartwright because I've not watched it back, but if he could have
Happy with that.
squared it, we'll have to go poor Henry. So there you go. Right, that's it then. Oh, God. Listen, pick yourselves up. Five more games to go. Listen, the season's over in terms of Scottish Cup. But still, still a chance. There's still a chance we've got something to play for.
It is. Yep.
Otherwise, it's going to peter out. And what we can't forget is where we, and you'll see this iterative everywhere, where we've come from, where we are now, semi-final Scottish Cup, top six finish. What a season. What a season. It's just, it hurts more
Because
because
it's
of
them.
it's them. If you went out to Celtic, you'd have been all right with that. You'd have been, you know what, you can understand it. It's because it's them. And like you say, aye. Just
Do you know
haven't
what was a wee bit annoying as well? Is obviously the last couple of weeks, a lot of the media chat from the team, from the club, has been about, oh, we understand the rivalry. We don't want to be on the losing end. Well, it didn't really show that on the pitch yesterday, which is really frustrating. However, John and Chris, we're going to do Falkirk Duff versus the Falkirk Duff, aren't we?
This will be a real
All
kick if I
right.
don't win this now. What
Yeah,
this
you
could
need
be
to beat me.
this.
You need to beat me.
Oh, right. Well, let's see if we can put a smile at least one of our faces, Chris. Right, Ross, you got the questions.
I do indeed. Have you got your whiteboard to
I've not got my
hand?
whiteboard, but I've got a wee thing in a wee app on my phone that I can just freeform.
Excellent. Okay, good stuff. Remember your whiteboard for your day job tomorrow, otherwise you'll be getting grief there off all day. Right, boys. Question number one. It's a penalty shootout style, Chris. As you, I don't know. Would you have done this?
I did. I did.
Yeah. How did you
I got
fare?
beat.
Remind me. How did you? Oh, did you get beat?
I got beat by one. Aye.
Ah, right. Okay. See if you can redeem yourself today, then. So, okay. Right, boys. Question number one. It's Chris. We will get your verbal answer once John's written something down. So, before Scott Bain, who was the last player to sign for Falkirk from Celtic? So before Scott Bain, who was the last player to sign for Falkirk from Celtic?
On loan or full time?
Either or.
Right.
He was a permanent sign, I will say that.
Oh, fuck's
He
sake,
was
I'm not
permanent.
right. I'm worried. Delete that then, Jesus Christ. That's why I asked you. Permanent signings. What did we sign him permanently? The last person. And so it's not alone then. We can say.
He was signed permanently. You've got me doubting myself now. I thought it was permanent.
Right, I think it was a loan, but I'm gonna write down this.
Okay.
Right, I've written down. Have you
You've
got an
written
answer,
some.
Chris?
This is before my time, obviously, because I can't think of any in the time I've been, but I'm sure that was it, Leo Fazan, the keeper. He would
You're
play for Celtic
thinking
now, right?
Leo Fazzani did play for Celtic and Falkirk. John, what you went with though?
Conor Hazard.
It wasn't either, boys. It was Lee Griffiths.
Was that from straight from Celtic?
Yeah, well, I can't. Yes, I'm
No, he
sure.
was. Did
Well, it
he
was
not?
Hibs.
Hold
No,
no, Ross.
no, no,
You're talking nonsense.
no.
Absolutely.
No, let me check it. But I'm pretty certain he was straight from Celtic. 2 seconds. It definitely not Hibs.
He
So
didn't go from Falkirk to Celtic and League. No,
tell
surely.
you. Let me check it. Let me check it. Although
Sure.
I'm now doubting myself that
Chris
No,
got to be called out.
he was signed directly from Celtic. He had been out on loan prior to Falkirk to Dundee, but he was released from
Oh,
Celtic and
yeah.
joined Falkirk. So
Right,
just as
okay,
one.
fair enough.
Okay.
So still 0-0, boys. Still 0-0. So question number two. We lost 4-0 to Celtic back in October at Celtic Park, but which two players who started that match are no longer at the club? So we lost 4-0 to Celtic in October at Celtic Park, but which two players who started the game are no longer at the club? And then John will let us know once he's got something written down. Chris, have you got a couple of answers in your head?
Yeah,
Okay.
I've written down two answers here.
Okay, okay. So, Chris, we'll come to you.
So Trey Ogunsuhi and Scott Arfield.
Okay, John
Ah,
McInerney.
he's right. I've written Alfie and Nesbitt.
It was Chris who's got the point there. It was Arfield and Trey Ogunsuhi. Yes,
Trey
1-0 to
Ogunsuhi, of
Chris.
course, it is. Well done.
Yep. Question number three, guys. We have played Celtic in our lifetime 200 times in all competitions, but what is our win percentage? Is it A, 20% or B, 25%? So we've played Celtic 200 times in all competitions, but what is our win percentage? 20%, 25%? John, let us know once you've got something written down.
I'm trying to write. My little pen's not working. Oh, that's rubbish. Hold on. I'll try that.
Like Art Attack.
It is. There you go.
Okay.
I've written A.
You're thinking it is 20%, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing the same.
Score stays the same. It was 25% is our
Is
win
it?
rate
Oh,
against Celtic in
bloody
all
hell.
comps. Yep. 36% was draws, and I'll let you do the math. The rest of it is defeats. So, question number four, still 1-0. Yep.
Yeah.
Question number four. How many current Falkirk players have also played for Celtic? So, how many current Falkirk players have played for Celtic?
Grab it down an answer.
Okay. Chris, we will come to you.
I'm going to say three.
You're thinking three. John,
I've
what have you got
also
written
written
down?
down three.
Both correct. It is 2-1. Now to Chris. So the three are Nisbet, Bain, and Calvin Miller. Well done. So, John, you need Chris to get this wrong to try and take it to a tiebreaker. So, question number five. What season did we last play Celtic in the Scottish Cup? What season did we last play
Oh,
Celtic in the Scottish Cup?
I've no. I'm terrible years
I'll tell
at
you what,
this.
I'll give it to the closest person.
Oh, okay.
I will give the point to the closest person. John, let us know once you've got something written down.
I'll take it. Why is it? Right.
Okay, you've got something written down now.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, we'll come to you.
I'm going to say 2008.
You're saying
I've
2008?
written that
Oh, no.
Right, here, okay. One of you can pick 08, 09, and the other one can pick 09, 10. And we'll see who's going to get that.
Chris can pick because he's the guest.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. I'll go. I suppose you've got millions more years before, if that, but I'm going to go 09, 010 because I think it was as recent-ish, not longer than ago than that.
Okay, John, so that means you've got 08, 09.
Yeah.
Chris is going to take the win today, guys. It was 2020. 21 was the season. We lost 3-0. It was COVID times. I don't know if you remember
Oh,
that. And
Jesus,
there
yeah.
was not a soul inside Celtic Park.
Brilliant. I'll take that
Well
redemption. Well
done,
done,
Chris.
Chris.
John, play the strings. Absolutely.
There you go. Well done, Chris. And listen, thanks very much for being part of our collective group on Falkirk Daft today. I hope we've all been able to support each other. We really should have had this episode sponsored by the Samaritans, but it's been good to talk. It's been good to talk, and good to like. Let's just, I feel we should be into a group hug. Right now, we'll just hug each other out. But listen, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. And hopefully, we'll speak to you soon.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global.
Oh, there we go. We group therapy session. Right, let's get this a bow tied in this one, Ross, because I just don't want to think about it any much longer, and hopefully this will be. I'll have to go through, have take my medicine tomorrow on the Big Scottish Football Podcast, and then just move on from here. Let's all just move on with life, shall we? Let's just forget that happened on Saturday. But before we go, thanks very much to the Falkirk football fans and training. They've got a new time slot, Ross. This is Doogie got in touch. They've got a new time slot and they're going to be playing on Wednesday 8 to about 9:30 now on the community pitches. And they've got three games on offer with potential fourth game if the numbers grow. Youngsters, late 20s, early 30s. Then you've got the over 40s, 50s section, which they're calling the academy. And then the legend section, which is slightly slower, but a bit more fun paced. So something there for everyone there. So you can play with the youngsters, you can play the over 40s and 50s, or you can play the legend sections. Brilliant. I just they think split up that way, it's just a bit more even. So open to everyone. If you fancy a kickabout, making new friends, helping your fitness, helping your mental health, get down Wednesday 8 p.m. to 9:30 at the stadium. You can contact Doogie or Ian or any of the current guys involved, or Hamish White for the youngsters. So all the details on the Facebook page are below in the link below. So join the boys, have a kickabout, and join the T8s. Great bunch of lads. There you go. Great. That is it for Folk at Daft this week. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching, if you do choose to do it that way. And thanks very much to Room Architecture for sponsoring this week's episode. We really, really appreciate that. We'll be back for a preview for the Celtic game later in the week. But now we are just away to drink, probably just another drink, just to help with the pain. I think a Sunday night whiskey might be involved, Ross.
Maybe yesterday was just a dream, John, and we're just
It's like when Bobby woke up in the shower in Dallas, or like it's like a Twin Peaks episode. It was all just a dream. It never happened.
Or Dirty Den coming back in EastEnders. Did that not? Something similar.
It was all just a dream. Just forget it happened. Forget it happened. Brilliant. Listen, all right, thanks for watching, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Until that time,
expect unexpected, I suppose.
We're Folk of Daft, we're Folk of Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Folk of Daft, we're Folk of Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folk of Daft, we're Folk of Daft, for everyone who's kidding about being a folk of beer. We're Folk of Daft, we are Folk of Daft.